Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch. Welcome, everybody. As always, a really great show for you today. You're going to learn a lot. We're doing the shrink thing today. Going to get you squared away and understand yourself. Some of your friends, maybe some of your family members out there. Because today we're talking about something that has probably affected all of us in some way. From either growing up with our parents or being with other family members or close friends whose parents who've had substance abuse disorders or were brought up in dysfunctional families. So I encourage y'all to call me if you'd like to at 323-203-0815 if you have a question or a comment about today's topic. And or you can email me if you're shy, you don't want to get your voice on the air. You can email me at docmichelle@aol.com. I like the rhyme. That's why I keep it. docmichelle@aol. Love to have you, you know, pose a question or give comments about this particular subject, which we're going to get into. I have an amazing guest today. She's an expert on, adult children of alcoholics. And we're going to have her on in just a little bit. She's going to share her fascinating journey of having to live with an alcoholic parent. And actually, with the help of her mother, who in the 1980s created the name Adult Children of Alcoholics and wrote the groundbreaking book with the same name, which fostered the world-renowned group to help these, as we call ourselves, adult children. So let me ask you some questions. All right. Think about these things, guys. Really, honestly, I want you to think about these and answer them to yourself or out loud. That's okay. Your coworkers will look at you and say, oh, my God, they're talking to themselves again. And no problem. Now, are you an approval seeker? I think we all are. I mean, to a normal extent, we want to get kudos from certain people. You know, our bosses, our parents, family members, or whatever. But do you feel like you've lost your identity in the process of always trying to seek approval? Are you upset or a little scared of angry people? Are you really frightened of personal criticism? A lot of us are. We don't want to be criticized. Nobody wants to be criticized. But there's a certain extent where we are literally frightened when we grow up in a chaotic environment. Do you have an overdeveloped sense of responsibility? Is it easier for you to be concerned with others rather than yourself? Which, by the way, enables us not to look too closely at our own faults, by the way. Yeah, sometimes there's some narcissism that comes out of that. Because if we don't look at ourselves too closely, we're able to deny a lot of things that are going on with us, right? Sure. Let me ask you this. Do you get feelings of guilt when you stand up for yourself instead of giving in to others? Another offshoot of this sometimes is being addicted to excitement. You know what I'm talking about, guys? And I'm not just talking about, having a bipolar 1 or 2 disorder, you know, or being sort of a hyper manic person or an excitable person, type A as we call it. There's such a thing as being addicted to excitement. Yeah, because of those wires that we're always ready to, wires in our brain is what I'm talking about, the neurotransmitters, are always ready to jump, always hypervigilant, ready to, you know, analyze the situation. How do we react? Or if we have a lot of drama and chaos and abuse going on in the environment, that's excitement, right? We get addicted to it. Yeah. Do you confuse love and pity? Do you tend to love people who can you know, we can pity and rescue. Are you one of those rescuers? And last and certainly not least, because there are so many more characteristics, have you stuffed your feelings from your traumatic childhood? All of us have to a certain extent, and not all of us have had traumatic, upbringings. But there are things along the way, along the journey of our life, even since childhood, that seem traumatic, that we remember. We call them flashbulb memories. But, if we have continued amounts of, substance abuse from our parents and abuse going on, and or dysfunction and rage and chaos in the home, we stuff our feelings because we can't really, we don't want to add to the chaos. We don't want to make it too crazy because there's so much craziness going on. And so what we do is we stuff it. And then what happens sometimes is we lose the ability to feel or express our feelings because it hurts a lot, you know? And that's what we commonly call denial. Mm-hmm. So, also another thing too, I just wanted to throw this in is, judging ourselves harshly and, having a lower sense of self-esteem, no matter how great your life's going, do you always have that "yeah, but" thing going on? Yeah, but it could be better. And it's interesting because, through my work, I've seen and I've learned that people have these and a lot more of these characteristics in common as a result of being brought up in an alcoholic or a household with substance abuse or, as I call it, dysfunction. And a lot of us have come to feel isolated and uneasy with other people, especially authority figures. Yeah. So to protect ourselves, what happens is we become people pleasers. Even though we've lost our own identities in the process, kind of sucks, but it's what happens sometimes. And all the same, we'd mistake any personal criticism as a threat, right? And then what we do sometimes is we project that onto other people in our lives as we grow older, right? We pick people who will criticize us many times. We find people who we can care give. We find people who are dramatic and erratic and, causes more chaos because we're kind of like addicted to it sometimes. That's what I call being addicted to the drama. That's what it is. So have you lived life from the standpoint of being a victim? I just want you to think about all these things. And again, you don't have to come from necessarily a family or caregivers who abused alcohol or other substances. You can also come from a family of great dysfunction. I've seen a lot of people come in, whose parents constantly fought. They didn't know how to speak to each other. They were stressed, and they just did the best they could, I guess, at the time? ? Well, that's what they say sometimes when we get older. If we're talking to them or if we're able to sort things out and they've sort of monitor themselves and, understood the chaos that went on in the early home. Anyway, these are all things that happen to us, growing up in a certain kind of dysfunctional home. And what they use the word is co-victims, right? Those who take on the characteristics of the disease without necessarily ever taking a drink or using substances. So we learn to keep our feelings down as children. We keep them buried as adults, and that's a huge amount of my clientele who comes in and sees me. They come in, and they say, "I don't get why, I can't feel. I feel numb, or I feel depersonalized. Sometimes I feel like I'm watching myself, like I'm the observer, watching myself talk, and it's derealization. I'm not really me. I don't feel like me. It's kind of like, did I just say that? Or..." in many cases, that old talking head song, "Is this my beautiful life? Is this my house?" You just sort of don't realize that you kind of have created a life for yourself because you don't have a real identity. So a lot of these things are going on. So as a result of this conditioning, we've confused love with pity. We tend to love those who we can rescue. And even more self-defeating, we become addicted to excitement many times. right? Preferring constant upset to workable relationships and situations. Constant chaos, can't focus. And a lot of people who come in to see me say things like, God, there's something's wrong with me. I think I have psychosis. I think I'm losing it. I can't, maybe I have bipolar one or two. I can't focus on thought. Maybe I have ADD, ADHD. And many times it's because we ruminate on so many things because we have tried to find solutions in our early environment all the time to duck the chaos, to deal with the chaos. Our minds are always going. It's called hypervigilance. How can we deal with this? How can we control this? How can we? You can't, especially as a child. You can't. But as an adult, you can become a little bit more enlightened. You can learn about these things. You can find out why you are the way you are. And really, you know, come to an understanding that you can even in relationships pick healthier partners. Why you deserve people who are healthier for you. And that's what you come to understand, you know, many times when you've had therapy, when you find out why you do all those self-defeating behaviors, why you do those things. And again, this is not a judgment. I'm not putting you guys down. I mean, my gosh, we've all done it. We've all had trauma, like I said, of some form or another in our life. So that's the really awesome thing about, you know, getting some therapy, getting some help, and reading great books like the one from my guest we have on the show today. Her name is Lisa Sue Wojtas, and we're talking about her latest book. It's Unwelcome Inheritance, Break Your Family Cycle of Addictive Behaviors. And hey, how are you doing? It's so nice to have you, Lisa Sue, on the show today.
Hi there. Thank you.
You're welcome. I really enjoyed your book. It was so helpful. So helpful.
I appreciate that.
And I've been doing this a long time, and you really pointed out some things that inspired me to help others as well in my practice.
That's great. I'm hoping to create a paradigm shift of sorts.
Yes.
And help people open up to the idea of healing relationships that we might not be willing to heal.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And you know, what I really like about your book, Unwelcome Inheritance, is that, you know, you do give some therapy and you help people out. You help people work through a lot of their things that are going on.
Well, I don't see myself as that unique. Our stories all have a different twist to them, but I share about my own experience because I'm not the only one.
Oh, yeah.
And I see myself and so many other people, and my mom always said, if we have a certain point of view about something that we think may help another person,
mm-hmm.
if we can explain something in a way that maybe it hasn't been explained before, we have a new point of view, then should write about it.
Yes. Yes. And a good book it is indeed, and a comfortable read. What do my clients say? You're not shrinking them too much. It's not too much psychobabble in there. It's pretty much the real deal. So let's just jump into it here. What is, if you can describe for listeners, the unwelcome inheritance that you talk about?
Well, the point of view that I'm coming from is that what we are going through is something that started long before we got here.
Yeah.
And one of the questions I ask in the book is, you know, could it be possible by any stretch of the imagination that the fact that I am so unorganized has to do with the fact that my great-grandmother was an alcoholic? And the point I'm trying to make is that generations before us, this body chemistry began to get passed down through our families, and so did the behavior around addiction and the behavior of people reacting to those people, and all sorts of addictions run through families, etc., etc. So what I'm hoping to do with the generation that my readers are is to recognize that and be the catalyst for change in the other direction going forward.
Yes.
But that's what the unwelcome inheritance is. It's, you know, we didn't ask for this.
No.
But we got it. So
yep.
What are we going to do about it? Just because it's not our fault doesn't mean it's not our responsibility and that we don't have any power over the outcome.
That's right. That's really true. You know, I also really appreciated the way that in your book you help folks understand that, you know, people who do have substance abuse disorders and alcoholism, it is a disease. Alcoholism is a disease. So you kind of break it down. If you look at the DSM, Diagnostic Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, folks, it's in there as a disease, and there's different forms. But I love the way that you really clarify that, because as you said, it is an inherited gene or set of genes, along with the environmental behaviors that, you know, are modeled to us, I guess. But basically, it is inherited, and I really appreciate that.
And some people don't believe that.
Yeah.
I think that it was a big fight for a long time.
Yeah, I do too.
For alcoholism to be recognized as a medical condition. And there are folks out there that still don't believe it. But from where I stand, I think the whole biological aspect of it gives us such freedom to look at the problems created by our body chemistry and look at it as a medical situation rather than a moral weakness.
Yeah.
It kind of gives us a whole new avenue, a whole new place to begin where we don't have to beat ourselves up.
You said it.
And I know that helped me a lot.
Yeah, you said it. Exactly. And, you know, just mentioning again, I threw it out there a little earlier, as you did, your late mom, Dr. Wojtis, who wrote the famous book, Adult Children of Alcoholics. Can you talk more about why she called it Adult Children of Alcoholics? What was that about?
Sure. Well, adult children refers to the fact that even though we are chronologically adults, we've had lack of parenting throughout our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So here we are living as adults, but really lacking what Mom called this database as to how to function as an adult. And the irony of that is that as children, so many of us had adult responsibilities and adult worries at a very early age. So we start out as children with lives that are more like adults, but then as adults, we have this whole lack of development. And even though, like I said, even though it's not our doing, it's still our responsibility to figure out how to fill in those gaps. And that's challenging.
Right.
Especially when you don't know what you don't know.
Yes.
You know, so there's that whole educational piece
that we
need to go out and get.
Yeah, you're so right. You're so right. By the way, in case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest today, Lisa Sue Wojtis. Her latest book, Unwelcome Inheritance, Break Your Family Cycle of Addictive Behaviors. It's a great read and really can help us out to understand not only if we come from a family of substance abusers. For some reason, I'm having a hard time saying that word today. See, substance abusers and or dysfunctional families. It's a really great book. If you guys would like to call in, you have a question for Lisa Sue or myself, feel free to do so, 323-203-0815 right here in Los Angeles. If you're shy, you don't want to get your voice on the air, that's fine. You can email me a direct question. It's docmichelle@AOL.com, D-O-C, Michelle with two L's, at AOL.com. So, you know, we're talking about helping people understand that substance abuse, alcoholism in particular, is a disease, and that also we inherit these things. Not always. Some of us bypass that. Some of us get to escape unscathed from
generation.
Yes, it will. You're so right.
Sometimes it does. And the irony is, you know, every once in a while, and I spoke to, for purposes of the book, I spoke to people from as many different scenarios as I could find.
Yeah.
And without exception, every time I spoke to somebody who said, I can't tell you why I'm an alcoholic. There's nobody in my parents aren't alcoholics.
Yeah.
None of my siblings are. I'm the only one. If we look at the family long enough, we'll find where it started.
Yep.
So the genes are there sometimes when we don't even realize it.
You know, they really are. And I know you've done a lot of work with people, a lot of surveys, a lot of studies, and you're right. It's like when you really look back, if you really have somebody, okay, let's look at your great-grandmother, grandfather,
yeah,
your uncle.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
And so in one case that I studied, it was a woman who is really 4 DWIs, ended up in the criminal justice system, and she's one of many siblings. Quote, perfect family, no problems with the parents. Mm-hmm. And then looking at the family, what we learned was that the grandparents had addiction issues, and her parents didn't, but because of the way they were raised with alcoholic parents, that got passed down. So it all ended up being passed down.
Yeah.
Interesting, that so many different scenarios.
Yeah, yeah, it's so true.
The other thing I just wanted to mention along the lines of alcoholism being a disease is that it's a family disease because it affects the whole family.
Yes.
And yet, ironically, recovery is not really viewed as family recovery. So here we have this broken family. Everybody kind of goes to their own corner for help. Mm-hmm. And the piece that we saw missing was the family coming back together.
Wow. Yes.
So we are hoping also, or I'm hoping also, that the family, that people will view themselves not as somebody, you know, I was hurt, I need to go take care of myself now. Mm-hmm. Sorry, everybody. But getting past all that and being part of the healing process as the healing of the family.
Got it.
To whatever extent is possible.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right, Lisa Sue. You know, it's interesting, too, is what I see in my practice is a lot of people who come to see me who have gone through this, of course, they even split off from their siblings because, you know, they all disappear and they don't know how to deal with it or talk about it when they become adults, you know, and on their own, because it just seems that they're trying to still deal with their own dysfunction and trying to figure out how they can function in the world. And they sort of seem to split up as well, which is a fascinating part of all this, huh?
Yeah, to what end?
Yeah, exactly.
To what end? Sometimes I wonder if it's harder to allow for the possibility of things getting better between people than it is to say, you're dead to me, and walk away.
Ugh. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Sounds like Mr. Wonderful on Shark Tank, right? I think he got that from there.
Yeah.
You know, I really appreciated in your book how you were so candid about your upbringing and were safe enough to share all that information in Unwelcome Inheritance. So can you talk about, as you describe it, your childhood from hell, Lisa Sue?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. And the reason why I shared was because, you know, either I'm going to put it all out there or I'm not.
Yeah.
And also because, like I said before, my upbringing is not all that unusual.
Right.
And I think the fact of how many people are getting help for this problem or related problems shows that.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up, and that chapter really refers to my early childhood, which I remember vividly. Kids are so much more intelligent and introspective than we ever give them credit for.
Yep.
And I think as very young children, we know we're in a bad situation. We know we're terrified. My dad, although today he is a wonderful man who I cherish, when I was a little girl, he was a very high-functioning, yet low-bottom and pretty violent alcoholic.
Mm.
And so my earliest memories of being at home with my family are pretty violent. Mom going off to the hospital, dishes being thrown, just never knowing what was going to happen.
Right.
And yeah, very scary, very stressful. And my dad went to rehab when I was 8. I came home one day and was told by a neighbor
Yeah.
That my dad was off to the hospital, and I thought, oh, thank God, maybe he'll never come back.
Wow.
But he did, and I think one thing that a lot of people don't understand is that just because somebody puts down the booze or whatever, fill in the blank, doesn't mean that everything's fine now.
Right.
And my dad's brain was pretty pickled, as they say, and it took years for things to change, for him to really start recovering emotionally and physically, for things to change at all. In fact, the violence was still sort of prevalent for a few years, and it took a long time. And unfortunately, by that time, my mom had just been pushed further than we are meant to be pushed. So the fact that, and I know she still loved my dad, and after 22 years of marriage, she just couldn't do it anymore. She couldn't find her way back.
Right.
Just too much had gone on.
Right. Right.
So that's
bless her heart.
That's not the carefree child, the carefree childhood that we would hope for our children.
No, not at all. And I think many of us, you know, especially in this day and age, who are, you know, have the opportunity to read books like yours and really understand more about dysfunctional families and substance abuse, you know, really are making sure that their children are not getting what we got while we were growing up. I mean, don't you see that, Lisa Sue?
I do. I feel that it's such a concern now, and especially, I mean, what's going on with kids is so much more serious than what I ever did or saw when I was younger. We have funerals practically every week, and it's really, really scary. So it's a whole new level of concern. I started learning about the disease of alcoholism when my dad went to rehab. I started going to a recovery group for children of alcoholics, which they don't really exist today so much. And the funny thing is, it's because of the numbers of people utilizing these groups. The numbers aren't there, but the need is there. So it's really. So I was very lucky that I started learning about it. But still, the rest of my life was affected.
Oh, that's so true. And thanks again for sharing your little tidbits from your childhood from hell, which, by the way, you guys can read more about and possibly identify with when you pick up her book, Unwelcome Inheritance, Break Your Family Cycle of Addictive Behaviors. At the end of the show, I'm going to let you know how you can get a hold of Lisa Sue's book, as well as find out more about her. She's all over the internet and so helpful in really, you know, trying to enlighten folks out there about their lives in such a compassionate way. No judgment. It's just the way it is. And certainly substance abuse is a disease that we can inherit sometimes. Hey, by the way, in case you just tuned in here, you're on LA Talk Radio. You're on the couch with Dr. Michelle. And if you want to call in, guys, please feel free to do so. I have a lot of emails coming in, Lisa Sue. But the thing is I have a lot of shy people out there. But I really wanted to kind of clarify a few more things before we jump into that. And I also want to thank my sponsor of today's show, Glow Soulwear. It's the clothing company that puts love and light in every stitch. Glow Soulwear is high quality sports and nice casual clothing with beautiful sacred geometry designs. Talk about getting therapy and making yourself feel good. Wear your vibration and lighten up. So check it out, guys. You have sacred geometric designs, and I'm wearing one right now. I love these shirts. Give love, offer wisdom.com. That's give love, offer wisdom, Glow Soulwear. Thanks, guys, for sponsoring the show. So moving on here, Lisa Sue, let's just something that I see a lot in my practice, a phenomenon that just blows me away, and I can sort of identify it in some way, is adult children of alcoholics guess sometimes at what normal behavior is. What do you mean by that? What is that about?
Well, it goes back to that lack of a database.
Yeah,
we know that what we grew up with certainly wasn't normal, but that doesn't mean we know what is.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of have to make it up as we go along. Mm-hmm. I remember as a little kid, every once in a while, I'd get invited to a friend's house, and they'd have a family that sat around the table together. Mm. No, there weren't dishes flying.
Uh-huh.
You know, I would see these certain ways of families interacting and think, oh, that must be it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Or on the other side of that, there's that wanting to seem as though we know what we think, or answering the question according to what we think you want to hear, because we want to get it right.
Mm-hmm.
So, it goes back to that, the fact that we just don't know.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. We just don't learn those things, you know, because we're exposed to the different environment. Isn't it interesting how, you know, when we go into other normal environments, isn't it bizarre? It's kind of like, whoa, there's something that in your mind that's saying, wow, is this what it's like? I mean, a normal,
yeah.
I guess, whatever. We don't know
what
normal
is. And the funny thing is, and my mom and I used to laugh about this because I just thought that was all so boring.
Yes. Well,
and
there you
I think
go.
That's why I got one of the reasons why I got into so much trouble as a teenager, because everything was so boring.
Exactly.
And I was used to this certain level of tension and crisis, mm-hmm. and risk, this mm-hmm. sort of adrenaline pumping.
There you go.
You know, way of life, and anything less than that was just.
That's right. That's exactly right. And they've done studies, you know, you've read them all, I'm sure, about, you know, how our neural patterns, we just become hardwired to,
yes.
you know, to that excitement. It's not excitement in a good kind of way. It's the drama, like
right.
you said, the yelling and the screaming and the plate throwing and
yeah.
all that.
And the living. Yeah. The living from crisis to crisis.
Yes.
And that's what I call in the book, I call it the comfort zone of tension.
Yes.
Not that it's healthy.
Yeah, right.
But that's really the normal.
Yes.
So we don't even recognize problems, for example, and this is, as a mom, I did this all the time, not recognizing problems to the point of crisis, because that's sort of where they register at all.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
So
exactly. Yeah,
different level of tension mm-hmm. than most normal people are used to. A normal person would say, "I don't want anything to do with that."
Mm-hmm.
You know, I need exactly. Valium.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly, and hence another addiction. There we go. All right, we have a caller on the line, and what I'd like to do is hold that question real fast. But I'd like to answer this email. This comes from Katie. So thank you so much for emailing us and for sharing this story with us, Katie. So first of all, she says, thanks for being there, Lisa. I still have a lot of anger towards my alcoholic dad, who left the family when I was 13. I have three other brothers and sisters. He was cheating on my mom for years. We all knew it. She chose to deny it. He lives across country now. I don't want to have anything to do with him. I still feel hate. I'm 21 years old. How can I resolve this? Mm. Good one, Katie. Thanks so much for emailing us. Well, you want to take this one, Lisa?
Yeah, well, you know, that's such a common experience.
Hmm.
I got a note from an old neighbor of mine who said his mother was dying in the hospital, and he is so resentful of her still for not protecting him from his alcoholic father, and
mm-hmm.
he just can't let it go.
Mm.
And I wish my father was dead on a daily basis, so mm-hmm. I totally get that.
Yeah.
The problem is, it's sort of like taking poison and expecting the other person to die.
Yep.
And in my experience, if I told you all the things that went on in my household and how I hated my father and I never wanted anything to do with him,
right.
you'd pat me on the back and say, "You go, girl."
Yeah.
and neither one of us would be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm proposing is that, and your father sounds like. He's got problems.
Mm-hmm.
He's got problems, and he's not a very nice guy.
Yep.
However, in your best interest, I would suggest considering his life experience and where he comes from, and expanding the view
yeah.
that you have of him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll relate my experience in what I did with my father, because
yeah.
picture we're looking through the lens of a camera, mm-hmm. and right close up against something. That's all we see.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at your father, and that's all you see is that man
right.
who broke your family and hurt your mother.
Mm.
If you step back with that lens and let more into your view, you'll get more information. What do you know about your grandparents and your great-grandparents?
Right.
What do you know about the way that your father was
right.
treated when
right.
he was a child, or the addictions or behaviors that ran through his family? And I'm just proposing to learn as much as you can so that you can humanize your view of him a little bit.
Yeah.
Not that he's not accountable for his actions. We're all accountable for our actions.
Right, right.
But so that we don't have to carry that around, because it hurts us.
Mm-hmm. It really does.
That's where I would start, is to learn as much as I could about him. And it helped me.
Yes.
When I looked at my father's parents, I realized, you know, these people are really cold and unloving.
Yes.
If I were their kid, I would probably drink too. Not that what my father did was okay.
Right.
But it made more sense.
Right, exactly.
So
exactly.
For all we know, maybe your grandfather cheated on your grandmother too. Maybe that's something that he learned. So
right.
at least it comes from somewhere.
And that's right, you know, Lisa, it's learning, finding out more information, doing a little digging. It helps us get a little more insight and hopefully a little compassion,
right.
maybe, sort of.
Right.
Well,
we tend to live in a vacuum.
Yeah, we do. We sure
do. So when we can consider the points of view of the other people in our lives, mm-hmm. if we can stand in their shoes and look around from where they stand,
yeah.
I feel that all good can come from that.
God, it's so true. Lisa Sue, we have a caller on the line. Shall we take it? See,
sure.
Yeah, producer says yeah. It's a good caller. Hi, you're on the air with Dr. Michelle, my special guest, Lisa Sue Wojtas. Who's this?
Hey, Dr. Michelle and Lisa. My name is Tanika. How are you guys doing today?
Good. Good.
Very well.
Nice to have you on the show. Thanks for calling in. What's going on?
Well, thank you so much. First and foremost, I love your show, Dr. Michelle. You help me with so many things.
Oh.
You have no idea. We could go
thank
we
you.
Could go on for days. I really appreciate dedicating yourself to people's better understanding of who they are.
Thank you so much.
And Lisa, thank you so much for spreading your knowledge as well. I had a question with what you guys were talking about. It strung a chord in my heart, and I decided to call in. Maybe you guys could really help me with this. I feel guilty when I stick up for myself. I work in a job where I have a minimum amount of, basically, I have a minimum amount of sales that I have to make every single month to maintain my position at my job. And there's been a couple months where I've been very close to not meeting that minimum, and my supervisor has threatened my position, but I have really put my heart and soul into making sure that I am fulfilling my duties. So there's been times where I'll stick up for myself, and you know, I'll say if only you knew the work that I'm putting in, if only you understood, you know, my background and how I do not come from sales. So it's difficult for me in the first place to be picking this up and being successful with it. I guess what I'm saying is, what can I do to feel more confident when I stick up for myself? Or, even better, how can I not feel guilty for sticking up for myself?
Good question.
Because this is haunting me, I tell you. And not only with my supervisor at work, I'm currently single, but with women in the past,
mm-hmm.
with girlfriends in the past. I've never been married. I've had mm-hmm. a fiance once,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
even then, they walked over me. And every single time I ever started to stand up for myself, I got quiet. I turned away, and I felt guilty.
Sure. Can I just ask you a couple of questions real quick, and then I'll turn this over to Lisa Sue?
Absolutely.
Yeah, cheer. Did you grow up in a dysfunctional family or a family, one or two caregivers or who had some kind of substance abuse?
Well, my mother raised me, yes.
Okay. Okay. So she had, she was an alcoholic or?
It was not alcohol. It was another substance of choice that I choose not to speak of. But
sure,
yes.
Sure. Okay, honey. All right. Lisa Sue, help him out with this one. Why does he feel guilty when he tries to stick up for himself? What is going on with that?
Well, you know what? I wrote a couple of notes because while you were talking, my mind was kind of going all over the place.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lisa.
So maybe I'll answer your question in a sort of roundabout way instead of going right into it.
First of all,
as far as the work of sales is concerned, and you sound like you have a lot of anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And sales, putting ourselves out there like that, in sales especially, you know, it helps me to just view that as having a conversation with another person. I love talking to people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just talking, we're just talking right now. That's all we're doing.
Absolutely.
That's what has helped me.
Mm-hmm.
And
that is a really good idea.
The other thing that I started thinking immediately as soon as you started sharing what you're struggling with is that it sounds to me like when you stick up for yourself, that you might have a fear of confrontation.
Lisa, you hit it on the head.
That came to me right away because, and I don't know really the dynamics between you and your mother or the other people that impacted you in your life, but
yes,
when we stand up for ourselves, it's not a confrontation. But we tend to feel like it is.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but since I grew up with a lot of anger and violence, to me, there's zero, and there's somebody's going to the hospital.
Yeah.
And not really very much in between.
Oh, boy, yeah.
Yes.
And that's not true. That's not true.
Sure.
When you're standing up for yourself, you're just stating what you need and what you deserve. And what you need and deserve is no more or no less than any other human being. So don't treat yourself in a way that you would never allow your best friend to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
if you, and it doesn't have to be you're standing up for yourself. It doesn't have to have that sort of emotion attached to it. There are plenty of people in this world who merely say what they got to say and do what they got to do, and they don't apologize for it, and the world doesn't fall apart.
Right.
So we don't have to get so upset about it.
Mm-hmm.
We just kind of take care of ourselves.
That's right. That's a great, great helpful
answer. And you deserve
it.
You sound like a really nice person.
You sure do.
Oh, dear. Thank you so much. Are you half psychic? No.
Listen, what I might suggest you also do. I'm sorry to cut you off, and we're running a little late here. I just wanted to say to you, thank you so much for calling in and sharing your, you know, being vulnerable and sharing your story. And
I can't thank you enough, Dr. Michelle.
Sure.
I can't thank you enough. You're
also
absolutely right. I was afraid of confrontation. That is what it is.
Listen to what Lisa Sue said.
Yes.
Take good care. And also, you know, you might look into assertiveness training. I mean, it really does help people, you know, who've always, you know, grown up thinking that they don't have a right to express their feelings or they're guilty for speaking up. And that's that whole thing about fearing, some kind of authority or adult figure sometimes. But you have a right. You know, there is, like Lisa Sue said, there is a difference. There is a gray. You don't have to go black and white. You can go gray into learning assertiveness, not being aggressive, not being a passive person. So just think about those things and check out maybe some of those classes or get a therapist who specializes in that.
That's a great idea.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely. I love you guys so much. I love you, Doc. I love you, Lisa. Thank you enough for all
You're
your
welcome.
Help. I want to let you know you really did fundamentally change my life today.
Well,
I'm giving my energy in a new direction.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Much.
Bless you. Bless your heart. Take good care of yourself. All right.
God bless you guys, and God bless On the Couch with Dr. Michelle.
Thank you, honey. I love you. Take care now. All right. And also, we're going to let you know how you can go ahead and pick up Lisa's book in just a little bit. As a matter of fact, let's do that now. It's Unwelcome Inheritance, Break Your Family Cycle of Addictive Behaviors. If you want to learn more about Children of Adult Alcoholics, the organization, how you can help yourself, how you can get through some of the things. And, you know, she really lays it out. Lisa Sue Wojtas really lays it out. As to how to help yourself understand, identify some of those patterns that you've learned and picked up and characteristics. And it's a great book. So what's the best way to find you, Lisa?
Well, we're in all the bookstores now, as well as Amazon and the Hazleton website. And we're online at drchan.com. That's in honor of my mom. Mm-hmm. And if you're a Facebook person, come to Unwelcome Inheritance, that page, or the Adult Children of Alcoholics page.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Thank you so much for being such a wonderful guest today. We didn't cover half of what I wanted to talk about, but that always happens, right?
Well, I hope we meet again. Thank you.
I'm sure we will. And carry on, and I look forward to your next book.
Thanks so much.
All right, Lisa Sue. Thank you. Bye-bye now. And again, the show will be up, of course, in the archives tomorrow with all the information on how to get a hold of Lisa Sue Wojtas' book, again, Unwelcome Inheritance. A lot of insightful things. You don't necessarily even have to come from a family who may have substance abuse in it. You can come from a family that has been dysfunctional, like Lisa Sue talked about, you know, throwing things, yelling, screaming, a lot of drama going on. That is sort of the case in many families. All right, guys, thank you so much for being on the couch here. You can stay on the couch if you want, but I'm getting off it right now. Come back next week. We've got another great show. This is about relationships. We're going to help you out learning how to have some self-esteem and get through that. And as I always say, do take care of yourself first, because then you will be great for other people. And that's the way it works in the world. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye. Got you on my mind again tonight. I see in the flashing rays a colored light. Come back here so I can get your name. Say it just the same.